Thank you, everybody, for coming. Thank you for hosting.
Yeah,
you didn't have to go out. Great. All right. I want to start with the end because I think it's very interesting. We're going to get back to it when we conclude. But this is the... I give you a snippet of this article, which I came across. You'll see it on the back. We'll go through it at the end. But it's very interesting. What's that?
Your cover's part of the headline.
Oh, sorry. It's an article from the Academia de la Lashon Ivrit, which is the... You just need one? That is the formal language institute of the state of Israel. If you want to come up with a word and you want it to be recognized, so it should be, it'll be somehow acknowledged. I don't know, I didn't go through all the protocols, but they have a very formal process because the Hebrew language has undergone a nearly miraculous revival. You know, 200 years ago, even the Yerushalmi Jews who were living in Yerushalayim, you know, from the Chalukah for hundreds of years, they spoke Yiddish. They did not speak Hebrew. And it was only till Eliezer ben Yehuda came along, this also Yiddish-speaking guy who came from Europe. The reason his name was ben Yehuda is because his father's name was Leib. That's why he called himself Ben Yehuda, because his father's name was Label. So Leib is Yehuda, so his father, Arya Leib. So that's why he called himself Eliezer Ben Yehuda. He came to Israel, but then was not Israel, of course, and he insisted that you revive the Hebrew language. And he was a one-man crusader to the point where he did not let his kids go and play with other kids. They had to stay at home. Okay, I don't know what that was like for them. But basically, they were isolated to learn the Hebrew language. And this one guy totally reinvigorated a language that had been completely dormant for hundreds of years.
This is the Ben Yehuda dictionary, right?
Yes, exactly. So this guy sat for hours with little paperlach and a Tanakh and lots of other sources to try to put together a new language from nothing, but they didn't have. It's like amazing. We don't think about it. It's 18, sometime second half of 19th century.
Just like Rebecca wrote a play about this at Hillel Torah when they were like...
Oh, really?
It's sounding familiar.
Okay, good.
No way.
So they have...
But I don't remember that.
Well, thank you.
I remember that. They were...
So there is an article that was published by a woman by the name of Karen Dubnov a couple of years ago called Makir Tova Asir Toda. And that's what I want to get to at the end because that really sharpens what I think is an important aspect of the theme that we're talking about tonight. So we're going to get to that at the end, but that's the exciting end. It's such a... The whole story of how this came to be is really, I think it's quite amazing that one guy could reinvent the whole language. And now there's a formal body. If you want to have like comunicatia, shala socializatia, all these words, so they are discussed and formalized because you have to think about where are the words coming from. In the time of Ben Yehuda, he was looking at the Tanakh primarily to figure out, so what were they going to call a telephone? And the early days of the internet, it was called Mirshetet, from the word reshet. I think that was the word for the internet. Now it's called internet. But originally, there was the... If you went to the Academia... I didn't do this, but if you went to the Academia Lashon HaEvrit website, which is where this article is from, and you went and you plugged in internet, they'll give you the official word for internet and the official name for telephone, because these have actual names. But in the 1920s, it wasn't called telephone. It had some biblical rooted name.
If he came up with this language and then it was called Hebrew, what was the language that the Tanakh is written in?
So the Tanakh is written in Lashon HaKodesh, and the Mishnah is also written in a form of Lashon HaKodesh, but those are not the same kind of Hebrew, right? Mishnaic Hebrew is not the same as the Tanakh Hebrew, and it's not exactly the same as the Rambam's Hebrew 100%, although the Rambam wrote in Mishnaic Hebrew. So how to make a language out of this Hebrew was exactly what he was trying to do.
We call it modern Hebrew.
We call it modern Hebrew, exactly. So it's a form of Lashon HaKodesh, but it's not exactly, we don't speak the same way the Tanakh. Like, you wouldn't open a newspaper and it wouldn't say, Vayomer so-and-so. Right, even
the
though
it's is still the same.
Right, the dictum is the same, but the
building blocks are
right.
Is still
exactly, and that's why I think that. I mean, some people would say, "Who cares what it says in the Academia LaLashon Ivrit?" But I think it matters, and we'll see why. Okay, so our goal for this year was each month to take a different value and explore it together. And so this month, I wanted to focus on the value of gratitude. Why? What's that? Okay, Thanksgiving. Maybe a different holiday. More Jewish. Thank you. Because if you look into the... Thank you. The Gemara in source number one, this is the famous Gemara, My Chanukah, Tana Rabbanan, on the 25th of Kislev. Exactly. This is the famous Gemara on the second parak of Shabbos, B'chof he'bekislev yomi de'chanukah, Tamya Inran. So on the books, technically, the Gemara tells you there are 8 days of Chanukah. What is the rule of the 8 days of Chanukah? Second line, de'lo lemispet b'hon, u'lo l'anus b'hon. You can't do hespedim or tanesim on these 8 days. That's the core din of Chanukah, that there are quasi-holidays, so it's a rabbinic holiday. There's an Easter of hesped v'tainis. That's the first thing. Then the Gemara tells you about the miracle of the oil. And what did they do? Kavum, last line of the Gemara, Va'asom Yamim Tovim, Bahalo Vahoda. The core takana of Chanukah was with Halo, which is why it's full Halo for 8 days. Halo Shalim. And Hoda, Thanksgiving. So in Modim we say Alanisim, and it's a time for Thanksgiving. So this is a good time to think about this midah of gratitude. This is not Stam Amida. This is, you could argue, a core Mida, or maybe the core Mida. It's not coincidental that we are called Jews. Jews is Miloshen Yehudi. In the time of the Tanakh, one of the ways that they described Jews, the language they spoke, Yehudis, Loshen HaKodesh. So when the Assyrians were circling Yerushalayim in a siege, and there was an officer who was yelling at them, telling them surrender. So he was talking to them in Yehudis, in the commoners' language, what the people spoke. And they said, "Don't use that. You know, the king sent a message. Don't say like that, because the people are going to hear and they're going to be discouraged." So Yehudim are called Yehudim, Miloshen Yehuda, Hoda. So it gets to the core of what it means to be a Jew. Yehuda HaMakabi. What does it mean to be a Jew? It means to be someone of Hoda. So the question is why? Why is it that Hoda is at the core of our essence? I want to shift gears for a second to a story that probably most of you are familiar with, but maybe we didn't think about it in this way. This is a Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph. This is the context of all the back and forth about various responsibilities between parents and children. So there are certain things that the parents' union is responsible for the children, and then there are certain things that the children's union are responsible to the parents. In that context, we have the mitzvah, the children are responsible for Kibbut Av V'Em. So Kibbut Av V'Em, from a legal standpoint, is what the Gemara calls machal u'mashke. You have to provide food, drinks, service, like actual taking care of parents. Now, most of the time, that's not what is usually done. Sometimes it is the case. Like, I remember when my maternal grandfather, with whom I was very, very close, he had a stroke right before my bar mitzvah. So after that, I used to walk with him, you know, with the walker and the whole thing. So it was literally, the Gemara says, malbisho manilo, to dress a parent and to put on their shoes. I had the privilege, I mean, he was much bigger than me, but I was, I don't know, 15, I could help. So I was responsible when I would visit, I would get my grandfather dressed, get him into pajamas, literally put on his shoes. He had a stroke, so he couldn't do that. So that's the original, that's the core Kibbut Av V'Em. You know, to actually, you know, bring him a cup of coffee or help him get his dinner on the plate, that's real Kibbut Av V'Em. But the Yerushalmi says, Ritzono shel adam zeu kavodo. My parents would not appreciate it if I tried to put on their shoes. So, you know, you do what they would appreciate. So you call them on the phone if you don't live near them, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So the Gemara wants to know, this mitzvah of Kibbutz Av'im, what is the scope of the mitzvah? Because the Gemara does say that it's actually one of the most difficult mitzvahs in all of Torah. It's very difficult to fulfill Kibbutz Av'im. It's not a simple mitzvah. The Gemara says it's a mitzvah that's very difficult. So the Gemara says, take a look. Boy mine me'rav ula ad hechen Kibbutz Av'im. To what extent should a person go to fulfill the mitzvah of serving, of taking care of, honoring their parents? Now, again, the word kibud comes from the word kavod, but the mitzvah of kibud avim is not, it is an element of kavod, but it's really sherus. It's really taking care of parents. The kibud comes more in the losa, say, of mora avim, meaning if I have a chair, my kids can't sit in my chair. Or if I'm having a conversation, my kids can't interrupt me. Like my parents are involved in a conversation, I can't just say, oh, I think this is. So, but that's really come from Mora, not so much from Kibbutz. Kibbutz is proactive, taking care. So Gemara says, Ad Hechan, how far? Amalehem, Tzu Ru'u, go out and see, third line, source 2. Ma Asa Ovid Kochavim Echad Ba'Ashkelon. Go see what this Gentile did in Ashkelon. And who was he? Vidama ben Nesina Shimo. His name was Dama ben Nesina. It's an interesting name, Dama ben Nesina. It almost sounds like Dama Miloshon Damim ben Nesina, of giving. He was, maybe the Gemara is trying to say, he was a very either wealthy person or he was very generous, magnanimous. It's something about money, it sounds like from this. It's not a normal name. Dama ben Nesina, it's a strange name. So it's telling you something. So this guy was he must have been a business person. Pam achas, one time, bikshu chachamim prakmatia b'shishim riboschar. The sages wanted to do business. Prakmatia is a Greek word for business. For how much? Shishim ribo, 600,000. Now, what number is 600,000? What does that sound like?
Jews.
Right, Jews that left Egypt. So why did they choose that number? Does it mean that this was actually the number on the table in the business deal? Or are they trying to convey something? Which is what?
Everybody was counted.
Yeah, it's huge. They're trying to tell you this is the deal of the century. Mm-hmm. And that's why the...
Pragmatic has been pragmatic.
Yeah, it's from the same number. It's the same word, pragmatic. Means it's a practical business deal. So what they're trying to tell you is this was $600,000 deal. That's the way the rabbis are giving you a number that tells you it's all out there. This is the biggest deal you could ever imagine. It's like the equivalent of all the Jews leaving Egypt. So they come to this guy and they say, we want to make a deal. Vahaya, first wide line, mafteach, the key to the business deal. Now, I'm not sure if this means literally, technically the Gemara means literally. He probably had a storehouse somewhere, a warehouse, and the key to the warehouse was munach tachas mirashosav shel aviv. It was underneath the pillow, the head of the father. The father was taking a nap, and he's not going to bother his father while his father is sleeping. Velo tziaro, he didn't wake him up. He didn't wake him up.
The parsha,
mirashosav, exactly. Same word, under his head. Now, it's interesting to think about, in the Gemara, he's paying attention. In the Gemara, it says that the key, that's right, the key was under his head. But you could even say that homiletically, meaning the father was the key to this deal. The son is ready to make the biggest deal of the century, but what does he need? He needs the father's okay. It's something about the father needs to close this deal. So he really wants to close the deal. It's the biggest deal of the century, but his father's sleeping. And Naniach, for a second, we go back to that Yerushalmi of Ritzono Shel Adam Kusheu Kabodo. If I told my father that we had the deal of the century and he was taking a nap, and I told him, I didn't wake you up because he was sleeping, he would... Exactly. He wouldn't be so happy. So, you know, the assumption is that at that time, the father had enough, the son had enough, he wasn't bothered. So Gemara says, Volotziero, that is the great example of Kibbutz Av'im. The Gemara gives you a parallel story. Go down four lines. Third line from the end. Another example, this time of Rebbe Lezer, same person. Bikshu mimenu, Dama ben Asina, third line up. Bikshu mimenu chachamim avanim le'efod. They wanted to ask him for stones for the ephod, for the Kohen Gadol's clothing. Again, Beshishim Rebo, 600,000. So this is, the Chachamim are willing to pay anything. 600,000 just means, name your price. We're desperate. How are you going to get stones for the, it's not so easy to get stones. And nothing happened. And what happens? Take a look in the last line. Leshana Acheres, the next year, a year later, Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Scharo, God paid him back, because actually that deal did not materialize. Shel Nolda Lo Para Aduma Be'edro. A red heifer was born into his flock, and you can imagine what that, that's it. That's like the equivalent of the golden ticket, you know, the dancing in the bed. Right? Like, you know, how many in the history of the world, I think the Rambam says there were only 10, I think the Mashiach will be the 10th. There were only 8 or, I forget, I think 10 Par Adumas in the history of the world. And this guy got one of them. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to tell you, the Ribbono Shel Olam watches out for you. You know, you were willing to walk away from the big deal out of keep it out of aim, the Ribbono Shel Olam takes care of you. Okay. So here's the question. Why are they looking to Dama Ben Asina, no disrespect, but a goy from Ashkelon to tell you about the mitzvah of keep it out of aim? Okay, so that's the simple pshat. Simple pshat is like Yechiel is saying, if a Gentile is going to fulfill mitzvahs, keep it aveim, ad kan, so much we should do. But I wonder if there's another deeper level. Let's put that on the back burner. Issue number 3. Take a look at this Gemara in Sanhedrin. Vramavido Marav. Pretty shocking statement. Adam Harishon. Adam, the first man, min haya. What is the word min? Min is a Talmudic term for a heretic. Adam HaRishon eats from the tree. He disobeys the Borei Olam. But not only does he eat from the tree, the Gemara says he's called a heretic. Heretic? Mapaton. Nechitesi. The Gemara says, I'll tell you. Sheneemar, Vayikra Hashem Elokim El HaAdam. God, the Lord, called to the man. Vayomar Lo, he says, Ayeka, where are you? So look at this. The Gemara says that the word ayeka is a code word for aleph, an, to wear, nun, nata, libecha. Ayeka means an, nata, libecha. Where'd you go? You left me. You forgot about God. So the question is, where did they see, aside from this literary hint, that what did Adam HaRishon do that was a kfira, that was a heresy, to deny God? So why is it that gratitude is so important to Jews? Why is it that we're learning kibbut av aim from a non-Jew? And why is it that Adam HaRishon is referred to as a heretic, that he denied God? So there is a statement in Chazal that appears in several places, which is developed in this little piece here, number 4, by Rav Dessler in the Michtav Me'eliyahu. The Lashon of Chazal is like this. He quotes it verbatim. Kol ha-kofer v'tovasu shel chavero. Somebody who denies the goodness that their friend does for them, that is an ingrate, a person who doesn't have the midah of hakaras hatov, lebasof at the end, kofer v'tovasu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately will deny the good that was given to them by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Says Rav Dessler, Mi shechaser lo b'midas hakaras hatov hashleima klapei chavero, a person who is lacking that quality of gratitude to another person, chaserim lo hakelim, he is lacking or she is lacking the kelim, the vessels, the capacity, lahakir betuvo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize the goodness of God. And I think this is the beginning of the story. That a person, our goal in life is to nurture and cultivate our relationship with God, to bring our HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives. And according to this Ma'amar Chazal, the mafteach, the crucial kli to do that, is the kli of Hakaras HaTov. Why do you think that is?
Like sometimes what Hashem does has more hidden, whereas what, like, let's say your friend or someone you know is less hidden.
Yeah, so that's exactly, yeah. That's what Rav Dessler is saying. He says, if you don't recognize, you know, somebody somebody drops off flowers at my house. I see it. It's right in front of my eyes. And I don't appreciate that. So certainly the Ribbono Shel Olam who gives us things that are oftentimes hidden, we're never going to get to that level. Oh. But why is appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu so crucial to our identity? So if you turn over the page...
Does it mean that you didn't forget about him like that already?
Oh, exactly. So now you can already see where John is getting to that nakuda of the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the most basic aspect of what it means to be connected to God. It's to having that awareness. So take a look. This piece on the top, this is the third shar in the Chovas HaLevavos in what's called Shar Avodas Elokim, the gate of the service of Hashem. So the Chovas HaLevavos here, Rabachi is trying to explain to us, why is it that we should serve God? What is the pathway to appreciating and understanding Avodas Hashem? So he says, I'll give you the answer. He says, it is basic gratitude. Look on the third line, I'm in the Hebrew, V'hukibol Avodas HaElokim kefi asher yechayvu haseichel, just like your intellect would oblige you, lemeitiv almi shehitiv lo. The same way that if somebody does me a favor, then I should feel indebted to that person. I should feel a sense of gratitude to them. You know, let's say theoretically, I probably shouldn't do this, but I'll say it anyway. Let's say somebody had $391 million to give you that you really, really needed. And they said, well, I'm not going to give it to you. But if I give it to you, you have to be indebted to me because I need you to do something for me. So if I gave you $391 million, especially if I told you I needed a favor, so it would be Derech Eretz that if I gave you $391 million, you should do me the favor of investigating the person I asked you to do. I'm just saying, that's the musag of Hakara Satov. Hakara Satov is basic, just saying, basic reciprocity for what somebody does for you. And says Rabbi Rabachia, he says, we even feel Hakara Satov for someone who tries to do something nice for us. Right? Let's say a good friend of mine, he wants to come and visit. Let's say we're making a simcha and we invite people, and this good friend from out of town says he wants to come and visit us. And then at the end, he gets snowed out because O'Hare is shut down, runway is closed, and he can't make it. So it happens, right? We've all been in that situation. So do you still thank the person, or do you say, you know what, I don't owe you a thank you because you didn't come? So what do you say? How do you thank them? They didn't come, but they tried to come, they intended to come. So Rabbi Nubachi says, he says, wait a second. Somebody who wants to do something nice for you and thinks to do something nice for you, of course you thank them. It didn't materialize in the end, they didn't make it to visit. It doesn't matter. He says, that's a kal v'chomer. To God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gives us everything that we have. Mamish, from the beginning to the end, literally every single thing. How could we not recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he says, that is the shoresh, that is the root of our entire Avodas Hashem, is out of a sense of gratitude. So now we can understand why, at the first level, gratitude is crucial to us as Jews. Because if our life is a life of Avodas Hashem, and that's predicated on gratitude, so now we can see how a person who doesn't have gratitude is not going to be able to do proper Avodas Hashem. That's Aleph. But I think there is a deeper level. I think there's a deeper level, and it's alluded to in this idea that's quoted in the Academia LaLashon HaIvrit. Because they quote here, in the history of the language of gratitude in the Hebrew language, in this long essay, I only gave you a little bit, and now I think that some of the wording got messed up in the back and forth of the English and the Hebrew. They quote different expressions in modern Hebrew of thanks. So they talk about todah, hodaya, an expression called lehachzik tova, You've heard of this? La'chzik tova means to, literally means to hold on to something that someone did for me that was good. I'm holding on to it. But then they describe in the article that this expression of hakaras hatov developed over time into something else. They say that in the, you have it in the page, in the 19th century, they found a new, what they call tziruf chadash, a new expression in modern Hebrew to feel a sense of gratitude, and that is called asir toda. What does asir mean?
Asur.
What's that?
It's like asur.
Exactly, it's just like asur. Right, what is the word asur mir? Matir asurim.
That's for
people who are
like
captive. Yes. Asur, there's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Melech Asur Barahatim, a king that is in chain. So when we say the bracha in the morning, Matir Asurim, it means, Lahatir means, Mutar means something that's unburdened, unchained. Asur means tied up. That's, so somebody who is in the base, who Asurim, is incarcerated. Asur means to be tied up. So this expression, which they quote from a pasuk in Zechariah, the Navi is talking about people who were in exile, they were asirei tikva. Amazing expression. Liot asir tikva. To go back to, probably to Tzion, the Mefarshim should discuss it. What do you think that means? Asir tikva.
Tied up in hope.
Yes. Yes, that you are so, that you are so longing for hope to come back to where you, that you are literally like bound up. You are bound up in hope.
Is that a good thing?
So in that context, it's certainly a good thing, right? The word le'esor, to aser something, is to bind up. So let's say, if I take, the Gemara says, if I take a net, the Pasuk says, le'esor isor al nafsho. If I take a neder, never to eat potato, that's a shvua. If I took a shvua, never to eat potato chips, I would be binding myself, that's even an English expression, to bind yourself in an oath. Right? That's the way, that's the conjugation in English. So, to bind yourself means to tie your hands. My hands are tied. So, an iser, something that we're not allowed to do, a restriction means our hands are tied. As opposed to, this is a halachic term, an iser means you're restricted from something, you're tied up, as opposed to a heter means you are allowed, exactly, you're untied. That's why in a colloquial sense, when a person, a woman, lo aleinu, is an aguna, what are we looking for? We're looking for a heter for that aguna. To be mater an aguna is to release that person from being bound up to that person who's making their life miserable. So an iser is a restriction. It's something that ties you up. And a heter is something that unbinds you. So the expression here, to me, is very interesting. To be asir toda. This is over 100 years old, they say, that this became a modern Hebrew expression. So you could tell me, it's modern Hebrew, mazeh mishaneh, it's not the same. But modern Hebrew has roots in Lashon HaKodesh. It's a new expression of Lashon HaKodesh. And even modern Hebrew has these sparks. The truth is, it's not just modern Hebrew, it's also Yiddish. It's also Aramaic. The Gemara has expressions sometimes that, in Aramaic, they used to say such and such, such and such. And there are different ways in different places. So for example, like in Chicago and in the East Coast, there's a machlokas about whether you play catch or you have a catch. You know, this is the Shiloh. So the different.
Where do you have a catch?
In New York.
New York.
In America, you have a catch. Right, you have a catch.
But, I never heard of the
but in Chicago, you play catch, right?
Yeah, I play catch.
100%.
Right? Right?
I'm from New York.
Oh, that's it. Or the difference between Visitor's Day and Visiting Day.
Visiting Day is in New York.
Yeah. Here it's called Visitor's Day. I don't know why that is. It's Visiting Day. It's a verb. But anyway, the point is that these are different Lashonos. So the Gemara will often darshan these Lashonos. So Rav Shechter once quoted to us from Rav Soloveitchik, why does the Gemara care that people call Visitor's Day or Visiting Day? It's because the Rav said that if Jews speak in a certain way, if that's their form of communication, so then there's some B'nai Nevi'im. Im Lav Nevi'im, the B'nai Nevi'im. So Yiddish expressions. if that's the way that people spoke, and that was a uniquely Jewish thing, so there's a lot of truth to that. And the truth is there are a lot of Yiddish expressions that express a lot of Jewish ideas. This, I believe, is exactly the same Nakuda, because this is what it's getting at. What does it mean to be Asur? It means to feel that you are constrained because there's something greater than you are. And Asir Todah means I feel constrained by the, in this case, by the feeling of indebtedness to the other person. That's why some people don't like receiving things. Why don't I like receiving things?
You're indebted.
That's it. And there is an element that the Chachamim say, which is a healthy attitude. Sone matanos yichye. It's not a good thing to always be looking for presents from people. But there are some people who, they can't bring themselves to get something. Why? Because they don't, and not because they're humble, but because they like to be very independent. They like to feel that they're totally in control. So they don't want to have to say thank you. The word lahodos, Hoda'a, means to thank. It also means to acknowledge. Asir Toda means I feel limited. I have a limit. I can't do it all by myself. I need you to help me. So I'm Asur. I am tied up by my own limitations. And that limitation ties me to you. Ooh, that's a deep idea. And I think that goes even beyond the Chovas HaLevavos' idea of us being indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we serve him. It's the idea that we recognize that he even exists. A person who is not prepared to feel asur, to feel that there is a limit to themselves, they're so inflated that they can't imagine anything beyond themselves, then there's no place for the God, for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because that person has filled everything. The essence of being a creation of God is feeling that we are limited and we are dependent on the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he is everything and we're nothing. And the more nothing we make ourselves, the Sfas Emes says, parenthetically, he says, that's the greater we are. You know, the more you realize you're really nothing, that's how great you are. Right? When we think we're something, then we're really small. But the idea of being Asir Todah says, wait a second, I have a limit. I have a constraint because there's something beyond. I am indebted at my core to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is what it means to be a creation. And I wonder if that's why we looked Dafka to Dama ben Nesina, who is a goy, for the idea of gratitude. Because non-Jews are also spiritual. And to be spiritual means to recognize there's something greater than you. That's the essence of spirituality. This is what Dr. Tversky writes about in some of his books, dealing with alcoholics and others who are not necessarily religious people that he was treating, but spiritual people who felt there was something bigger than them. That's the idea of being asir. It means we are constrained to the extent that we realize there's something bigger than us. And that's basic humanity. If I'm not mistaken, I remember that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, when he was in YU, the last years when I was there, so he would sit in the front of the Beis Medrash, and he was, you know, he was a total cripple, but it was an amazing experience. I'll never forget this for the rest of my life. He was sit in a huge, they had a huge chair. It was like an oversized, not a rocking chair, but a gigantic chair, and he was like slumped over and he was writing, and on Thursdays he would give a shmooze, a parsha shir. It was an unbelievable experience for me. You know, I was a kid, and watching, I had the chance once to carry him down the stairs. He would go in a little scooter, they would take him to his room, and then they would drive him to the plane. It was unbelievable. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, he once told us, he's sitting there giving the shir, like slumped over speaking, and he once said he thought that non-Jews are mechuyev in Kibbut Ava'im. It's not one of the seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So we asked him, why did he think that non-Jews are mechuyev in Kibbut Ava'im? Because he says, wait a second, non-Jews should be mechuyev in Kibbut Ava'im. Why? Because it's an intuitive mitzvah of Hakaras HaTov. Because Hakaras HaTov, he said, that's not just being Jewish. Of course it's being Jewish, but it's being human. It's feeling that there is something greater than ourselves. The most obvious expression of Hakaras HaTov goes to parents. And that is the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Aim. So perhaps that's why when Chazal were saying, Ad Heichan Kibbud Av V'Aim, it's not just a Kal V'Chomer, like you were saying, Yechiel. It's saying, Kibbud Av V'Aim is shaykh to everyone. It's shaykh to non-Jews because it is rooted in Hakaras HaTov. And Hakaras HaTov is what it means to be human, to be recognizing that there is a God. And that's why Adam HaRishon gets into so much trouble. Because it's one thing to eat from the Eitz Hadas, but what does he say after he ate from the Eitz Hadas? When God says to him, Nu, Vaskaitaran, what does he say to him? He says, it was her. And what's the Lashon? Ha'isha Shenasata Imadi. You gave it. It's your fault. You gave it to me. Wait a minute. It's one thing to blame somebody else. That's already, as you would say in Yiddish, Ahal Batsar. That's not a good thing to do. But to throw it back in his face and to say, you gave it to me. What do you mean? Ribon Shalom says, I gave you Ezer Kenegdo. The fact that you guys couldn't get it straight, to throw it back in my face and to say, oh, the fault is not just that she, but you gave me this problem, that is the end of the story. Everybody makes mistakes, but to not own the mistake, to blame somebody else, and then to deny the goodness that God did by giving him Chava, that, the Gemara says, is the equivalent of heresy, of denying God. Because when you lack gratitude, when you lack Hakaras HaTov, you lack the capacity for acknowledging that there's something greater, that there's somebody outside of you. Oh. So now, perhaps, this is why, for Jews, we have a heightened sensitivity to gratitude. Because all of humanity has a Tzelem Elokim. Everybody has this feeling that there's something greater, that there is an expression of Hakaras HaTov to God as being human, especially to our parents. But we have a higher level of responsibility. If we have a higher level of responsibility in terms of 613 mitzvos, of being the Or LaGoyim, the model for all of humanity, then it makes sense that we have to have a higher level of accountability in terms of Hakaras HaTov. And that's where the Chovas HaLevavos says all the mitzvos that we do, they come from our Hakaras HaTov. And that's why to be a Yehudi means to be even more focused on being Asir Todah, on thanking the Ribbono Shel Olam for everything that he gave us. We have an interesting Gemara Menachos. The Gemara says, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shel Olam Eimach. What does God ask from you? So what is God asking from you? So the Gemara has a drush on that. Al Tikri Ma'a Elameya. Don't say what? Mem Hey, say Meya. Mem Aleph Hey. So it quotes in Shulchan Aruch that there is a din, 100 brachos a day. Now, not all those brachos are brachos of thanksgiving, but the vast majority of them are. The concept of a bracha is to say, you are the baruch, you are the brecha. The word brecha means a pool, a reservoir. We are acknowledging, we are asirei todah. We are asurim to the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of us? All he says is to say, Just be decent. Just say thank you. When you get something, just say thank you. You know, especially, we know this feeling as those of us who belong to the parents' union when we give something to our kids or to a friend. We don't want a lot, but we really want that feeling that the person just acknowledge. Just say thank you. Right? It's and Malchusa to Arake Malchusa to Rakia. The Ribbono Shel Olam, not that he needs it, but he wants to have a relationship. He wants us just to say thank you. What is he asking you? 100 brachas a day. Just keep saying thank you. This is the midah of gratitude. That's the midah of being Yehudim, of being Jews. And so this is something that we can do in two different realms. It's something we can do ben adam lechaveiro, to other people who we thank for hosting, for putting out a beautiful spread, for all the things. But also to the Ribbono Shel Olam, feeling that sense of gratitude for the Nisecha Shebuchol Yom Imanu, all the big things that go on in our lives, but also the small things. each one of those things, the more that we express that gratitude, the more asire todah, that feeling of being asur, that we are limited, actually is more reinforced in the fact that we recognize that there is a God. The less that we say thank you, that we think we're self-made people, then the less space we have left for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So this midah of gratitude, it's really core to our existence. And I'll end you with one vart that I heard from Rabbi Palkovitz, Zichrono Livracha. He used to say, in the name of this, of the Bali Musar, the Svarim HaKadoshim, he used to say, why is it that of all the brachos in the Shemona Esrei, when it comes to Chaseros HaShatz, the Chazan says the bracha, we say, Amen Shkoyach. Except for one. What bracha is that?
Modim.
So he used to say from the Darshanim, he says, when it comes to saying thank you to somebody, you cannot deputize that. You have to say it yourself. You have to be Makir Tov yourself. It's the kind of person that you are. You can't just say, oh, the Chazan says thank you, I'm going to say Amen, me too. No, to be a Jew means to recognize what somebody else does for you. And like Rav Dessler said, it's a process. We thank other people, and that practice of being indebted to others enables us to grease the wheel, so to speak, so we can be Makir Tov, those 100 brachos a day, for all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. So in that spirit, thank you all for coming. Okay, my pleasure.